Welcome to AP Psych!
Right, hey everybody, this is an introduction to clinical psychology. So we have just a few introductory topics.
We have Ms. Snyder here.
Oh, well, we do. We also have Ms. Snyder here.
And Mrs. Navidad.
Yeah, and we are going to just talk about and introduce clinical psychology. So, Ms. Snyder, who is also here, why don't you start us off?
All right. So, one of the things that psychologists use with psychological disorders is the DSM-5. It's called the DSM-5 because this is the fifth edition. It stands for the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Really, if you know DSM-5,
I think you'll be golden.
You're pretty good. Several disorders have been added, dropped, and updated. Don't know why I tried to make that a four-syllable word. Added, dropped, and updated. So it's supposed to reflect the most up-to-date knowledge that we have about these disorders.
Yeah. So things, like you said, have been taken out and put back in. And I think it just kind of not just shows us like the most up-to-date, but also shows us that diagnosing mental illnesses is tricky, mm-hmm. right? And as we go on talking about disorders and clinical psychology in general, we need to remember that we are not diagnosing one another. That's not what we're here to do. We do not have the degrees to do that. Ms. Snyder and I do not have the degrees to do that. So that is not something that we should be doing. We should also not be, just like going around telling other people like, oh, you know what? You're really hyper. You must have ADHD. That is not how that works. But there is a unified mental health team here at Stonebridge. And they are a fantastic resource for you to use if you or anybody in your friend group here at Stonebridge is experiencing any psychological distress. Dr. Lichtman, Ms. Apala, they are two fantastic people.
Incredible.
You can go onto the website, the school's website, under counseling to learn more about the Unified Mental Health Team. But every single person on that team is fabulous. So if you are experiencing any distress, they are there for you, and we are here for you too, but they are really here for you, and they are much more equipped in that.
So absolutely,
without further ado, are we ready? Today in this episode we are going, I already said we're going to introduce clinical psychology.
So there are elements.
I don't know where you want me to go. So there's going to be a Nearpod video that you are going to watch. Kind of like our last unit. Well, it's not really like our last unit. Our last unit had a lot of vocab terms that you mm-hmm. could like memorize and regurgitate and it would be fine. This one also has that. There's a lot of, we're going to break it up into the different disorders. And then the second half of the unit is going to be treating those disorders. So we're going to start in the next few episodes with some of those disorders, but there is a Nearpod episode or video for you to watch that goes over some very important terms. Mm-hmm. So especially abnormality. I think in our book it's called the unit is called abnormal behavior. The chapter is called abnormal behavior.
And when I took this course in college, it was abnormal psychology.
Yeah.
So again, and I know I've said this to at least, I can't remember if I've said it on the podcast before, but I've said to my students at least that a lot of these subjects that we're squeezing into four lessons, I took an entire semester on it, or you can take an entire semester on it. So if this is interesting to you, you know, take a look in your college classes.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also legal terms of sane and insane. So you can't just go around saying like, Ms. Snyder's insane. That's not, that's very over-exaggerated. And there are, well, it is in real life, but also there are legal definitions for those. You're also going to see emotional distress, significant impairment, and maladaptive behavior. deviant. I'm out of here. It's already
been a long day.
Deviance from the norm, irrationality, unpredictability, and suffering. So those are all defined in that video. So go ahead and watch that. If you want to pause and watch that first, you can. But we're going to move on.
Yeah. So an example of the medical model and the biopsychosocial model for depression, you'll kind of look at these for both of them. So the medical model is identifying the chemical imbalances. So that's the like fully biology side of it. Identify genetic aspects of the disorder. And psychiatrists focus their attention here. So remember, psychiatrists are the ones that can prescribe drugs. So if they need to focus on the chemical imbalance so that they can prescribe the chemical to give you that balance back. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say an example. My grandmother has clinical depression. And so there is like a huge chemical imbalance in her brain. And so even if she's on the same medication for a while, it can cause another, not the medication, but there can be another imbalance that occurs. So then they have to like go back and like rebalance it with different levels of medication or different kinds of medication. Mm-hmm. So that would be the medical model.
Right. Biopsychosocial is still consider chemical imbalances in the genetic aspects. That's still the bio part. They also consider one's negative thoughts, recent environmental events, cultural differences in how depression may be expressed. Mm-hmm. So that part kind of looks at the psychological part of the negative thoughts, and social is really the like recent environmental events, cultural differences in how depression looks.
Yeah, so it's kind of like taking the medical model and then pairing it with that psychological piece.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you. Now, oh, I lost my cursor. There we go. So labeling in with different disorders, there's pros and cons to labeling. The pros of labeling are it makes things easier to understand, and it shows how things are related to one another, and it helps with research into understanding those disorders better. However, the cons of labeling are attaching a stigma to it. So saying like, oh, if your grandmother's depressed, that means she's always crying. You know, like that's a very general stigma. But
I think one that really sticks out, because we'll talk about this or you'll explore it later today, is schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
People widely make that so much more exaggerated than it actually is. And like, oh, so they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another con of just a categorical, they're crazy, yeah, quote unquote.
Yeah, those preconceptions about people, and you're only thinking about their disorder, but you're not actually thinking about the person themselves. Mm-hmm. And then making that person feel more helpless and powerless, because again, you're putting that label on them first instead of like thinking about their actual like person, their actual being.
Right.
So now, again, the dangers of labeling. There was a study done in 1973 with David Rosenhan. Yep. And seven others, but we only really need to know his name. This is important, so keep Rosenhan in the back of your mind, or in the front, I guess. Whichever one feels more important.
In the middle.
In the middle.
Side.
Yeah, just floating around. but he and his colleagues checked themselves into, or the people that he was going with, they checked themselves into psychiatric hospitals, and they falsely complained about hearing about voices. They were admitted into the psychiatric hospitals, and they were misdiagnosed. And while they were hospitalized, the fake patients reported no further symptoms, and the clinicians still found reason to support their misdiagnosis, and their average stay was 19 days. So they were in a psychiatric hospital without having any real symptoms for 19 days. So
yes.
Why is that important?
Yeah, why do we care? first of all, because it's 19 days and that's the average stay, so it could have been longer. But this also can have the self-fulfilling prophecy effect that we talked about in our last unit. Once we believe someone has a diagnosis, it's easy to continue that belief or to see all information to fit that belief. Mm-hmm. So once perceived as mentally ill, the perception sticks, even in well-meaning professionals. They weren't trying to keep people there that didn't need to be. It's just sometimes you get a blind spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we're going to talk about, like I said before, a lot of different mental disorders. I don't want to list them all because we're just going to go through them almost individually.
Yeah.
So make sure that you listen up and look at those slides in the future. And we're going to get to almost all of these on this list. I'm just trying to like skim through it really quick. Mm-hmm. But we're going to get to many of these on this list. The book has any of the ones that we don't go over. But again, I think we're going to go through most of them. But yeah, so there's a lot that we're going to get through. And then we're going to talk about treatment in the second half.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool unit. I think we're going to like it. And yeah, can't wait to dive in.
I do just another caveat of we are not diagnosing mm-hmm. each other or ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, or even if you are not already diagnosed with one of these things, we are only going to discuss these different disorders with the utmost respect mm-hmm. for them. Like Mrs. Navidad said, just because you have one of these disorders does not mean it is your entire personality mm-hmm. or your entire being. Mm-hmm. And so while this is a very interesting subject, and I think a lot of us can relate to it, we also need to be aware that we can relate. Many people around us can relate to it, and we can probably relate to it as well mm-hmm. and keep our conversations respectful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. That was a nice addition.
Okay. Absolutely.
So we will see you in the next one.
Happy studying.